Shigo Segan Mo On Shujo Muhen Segan Do Bono Mujen Segan Dan Ho So this evening, I'm going to speak about the Fukan Zazengi, a short text. It comes out as 3 pages and printed out. So it's a relatively short text. It was written by Master Dogen, who was the founder in Japan of the Soto Zen tradition that we follow. He went to China and studied in China with teachers in this tradition, and then returned to Japan and in some ways made some changes, but in other ways stayed with the essence of what he'd been taught while in China. And so this was one of the first things that he wrote when he came back, and he was relatively young. What had taken him to Japan, because he was already ordained in a Buddhist tradition, a different Buddhist tradition, what had taken him to China was a dissatisfaction with what he had learnt and what he was practicing, and a question that he had. The essence of the question that he had was, if we are all already awakened beings, if Buddha nature manifests in all of us, if we are fundamentally perfect already, why do we need to practice? That was the question that he had. And this Fukan Zazengi is effectively his answer when he came back from China to Japan, and this was the answer that he had formulated in his experiences and the teachings he'd received in his own practice. And so I'm not going to read it all through, but I want to just pull out some ideas from it. And it actually starts with, I'm not going to read it out, but it starts with, the first paragraph of it is effectively asking the question that he had in his mind before he went to China. And so what he says is that the reason that we need to practice is because we are all already awakened, but we forget this. We are distanced from this. And he is quite clear about what causes this distance. He says, if the slightest discrimination occurs, you will be lost in confusion. And so that actually means the slightest judgment in the mind, the slightest, to a certain extent, any thought, any categorization, is an act of distancing from the fundamental nature of reality for Dogen. And so it is a step into the relative world away from the absolute. So to be clear, there is nothing wrong with the relative world from his point of view. He speaks about this in other texts later on. There's nothing wrong with the relative world. It's just that the ways of thinking that we need to live in the relative world, the everyday world, distance ourselves from truly vividly experiencing reality as it is. So effectively he says that even if you're proud of your understanding, so in other words, if you are or have abundant realizations, so you have a lot of understanding and intellectual knowledge about Buddhism, even if you're wise, you acquire outstanding wisdom, then all these thoughts, these wise thoughts, these good thoughts, nonetheless distance you from experiencing reality. And so it's kind of a warning that don't just use the mind, don't just use thinking to try to taste the experience of the Buddha. So that's effectively the core message of this, and you'll find it in many other things. The Hanyu Shingo that we chant also has that as its core message. And so he kind of warns against putting too much faith in thought, in word, and he says, you should stop searching for phrases and chasing after words. And so this is, of course, the classic irony in Zen, in that Zen teachers talk a lot about not using words. That's the classic aspect of Zen teaching, which one must live with, because one must step beyond the need for words, but nonetheless live the life which needs words. So he says, stop searching for phrases and chasing after words. Simply, immediately practice just this. If you want to attain just this, immediately practice just this. So effectively, Simply be present is what he's calling for. He then gives guidance about how to practice, very practical guidance, which I'll not go into, but the first time you come here and we do an introduction, we effectively explain the next two paragraphs of this text, because it's effectively saying the posture that you sit and the clothes that you wear, the way that you wear it, the fact that we sway from side to side to begin with to stretch our spine. All these are the practical guidelines that he includes in here. One thing he does talk about is the state of mind, and he says, stop conscious endeavour and analytic introspection. So in other words, don't try to get something when you're practicing. As you're practicing, do not try to get something, is the key message of this. And analytic introspection, do not try to analyse the thoughts that bubble up. So that's not, there's other Buddhist practices which involve that, but for Dogen, the core practice is not an analysis of the thoughts that come up. It's to allowing them to come up and to pass. And insights do come from that, but from a Zen point of view, those insights don't come by trying to think about where those thoughts have come from or what those thoughts are about. Those insights come naturally, unconsciously, and automatically from the arising, noticing and letting go. The noticing being a natural process, not a deliberate force thing. And so stop conscious endeavour and analytic introspection. In other words, simply sit, allowing the thoughts to arise and pass. And what he describes as the essential art of Zazen is something that's translated here as beyond thinking. Place the awareness beyond thinking. So it's not the same as trying not to think. He's very clear. He says, you're not trying not to think. You place the awareness beyond thinking. And the essential art of Zazen is to learn to place the awareness in a place beyond thinking. And placing it beyond thinking means opening the awareness up to allow the thoughts to arise. So in other words, sometimes I use the expression, which is used by one of the Dharma uncle of Dogen, precisely Wanshi, open the field of awareness. Open the field of awareness. And when the field of awareness is opened, then thoughts will arise, but the awareness is so spacious that those thoughts are simply a small part of awareness. And to open the awareness, what we do is allow ourselves to be present on the sensations in the moment, the feeling of the uprightness of the body, the feeling of the sense of the spaciousness of the room, sounds passing, the breath flowing, sensations in the body, warmth, cold, allowing that awareness to expand to encompass all of these. And when it does that, then the thoughts that arise are simply a small part of the awareness, as opposed to dominating the awareness and pulling the mind. And of course, that's not easy, and we get distracted, and we need to once again learn the essential art of Zazen and allow the awareness to open to this place beyond thinking. Effectively, the experience of reality is beyond the place of everyday thought for Dogen, behind it and between it and beyond it. So other things that he says is Zazen is not a meditation that you make staged progress in. So it's not something that you achieve something and then you achieve something else and then you achieve something else, something else. I remember our teacher Nancy saying the Zazen of someone who's practiced for 20 or 30 years is fundamentally no different from the Zazen of a beginner. It might be that more moments of clarity, on some days there won't be. Some days someone who's practiced for 30 years will be just as confused as someone who sits down for the first time on the Zafu. And that is something that we simply accept. So there is no sense of or effort to improve. There is simply a sense of acceptance of the awareness of what is, whether it's in the first time one practices or the 9,000th time one practices. It's simply accepting what is and letting go. And so this, later on, the next in the same paragraph, Dogen says, the true practice emerges of itself, the true awakening emerges of itself, clearing away hindrances and distractions. So it's simply saying that if we abandon ourselves and let go, then this awareness can emerge naturally. We don't need to force thoughts away. We simply need to abandon ourselves, let go, and allow this awareness to emerge. He talks more about that it's not about thinking and analysis, but he says Zazen is an awesome presence outside form and colour. And form and colour are here used as kind of representatives for the world of phenomena, and basically it's saying that we step outside form and colour. In other words, we step outside. Form and colour is effectively what I personally am, and Zazen is a presence outside, beyond what I personally am, which is manifest through what I personally am. he also makes very clear that the practice itself is not about wise words. I think that's the best way of putting it. That someone who speaks eloquently and someone who doesn't speak, from a practice point of view, the quality of their practice is no different. So just because someone can use wise words does not make them in any way better than someone who simply sits, because the practice itself is beyond that. And so in some ways we shouldn't necessarily judge a Zen teacher or a Zen master by the words they say. That was something that Yusha-san, visiting nun who came on our last retreat, said. She was saying about her teacher that it's really about whether it's the life that one lives, the practice that one lives, that's what one does that is the source of inspiration rather than the words. Words are okay, words are helpful sometimes, but they're not so important from a Zen point of view. And so in the next paragraph, and this is what Dogen wrote when he was first back from China to Japan, he says, although circumstances may vary in a thousand ways, wholeheartedly practice Zen, giving yourself fully to the way. And so what he's saying here is, we are given the lives that we're given. We're all different. We all have different situations. And the many differences in our circumstances are not so important. And whatever life we find ourselves in, we can find a place of practice and choose to practice and choose to let ourselves go to the practice. So what he's saying here is effectively, don't just feel it's a thing about living in a monastery, but it's something that can be expressed in any life. And so later on, he kind of uses the expressions which imply that we shouldn't. In fact, he says, but why wander uselessly in the dust of a remote land when you can stay at home and practice, is one of the things he says. So we shouldn't look. Of course, he's gone to China and then come back again, so I don't know exactly why he's saying that. But actually what he's saying is that you can find what you're looking for here and now. You don't need to search widely for it. And he had to go to China to find that out. Another one I think I wanted to pick up is, he uses the expression, form is like a dewdrop on the grass. He's effectively saying that our lives are fleeting, they're passing. And so because they're fleeting, then there is an opportunity to practice which is there, but will go. And so make the most of it. And later on, in different texts, later on, he expands on that metaphor, and we'll do that another day. The famous moon in the dewdrop being the metaphor for awakening. And in the final paragraph I wanted to quote, he says, respect and honour the mind that goes beyond study and surpasses all things, and manifest awakening through that mind. So the mind that lets go of study is the mind that can manifest awakening. And so that is through practice, effectively. Don't just think about study. Through practice, through regular practice, then awakening naturally manifests itself. Sometimes a cloudy awakening, other times a clearer awakening, as we pass from moment to moment, in and out. And that's what he's effectively saying. So the title of this, Fukanza Zengi, means a recommendation of Zen practice to all people. So what he's saying is, it's not just for monks, it's for everybody. And anyone who engages wholeheartedly can express awakening in their own unique personal way. But nonetheless, that is as valid for a beginner as it is for a master. So I will stop there. So thank you for listening. So we'll finish again with the four vows. Shigo Segan Mo'o.